Today we're building a wide jungle mid base with modern punch and vintage soul in Ableton Live 12, and this is a really important skill, because in drum and bass the mid base has to do a lot of heavy lifting. It's not just about sounding big, it has to feel alive, leave space for the kick and snare, translate on a club system, and still have that raw, dusty, rave energy that makes jungle and darker DNB feel human. So in this lesson, we're going to think in layers. We'll build a mono sub to stay solid in the low end, a mid-bass that carries the attitude and movement, and then a stereo strategy that gives us width without wrecking mono compatibility. We'll also add a little vintage soul through saturation, filtering, and some controlled imperfection, so the sound doesn't end up too clean or sterile. Start by creating a MIDI track and loading Waveatable. You could use Operator or Analog too, but Waveatable is a great choice here, because it can move from clean to aggressive really smoothly while staying under control. Before you get lost in sound design, write a short bass phrase. Don't make it a full, endless loop right away. Keep it tight, maybe one or two bars, and let the drums have room to breathe. A good jungle bass line usually has phrases rather than constant notes. Think root notes, short hits, little gaps, and maybe an octave jump or a pickup before the next downbeat. A simple rhythmic idea might hit on beat 1, then the end of 2, then beat 3, then a pickup before beat 4. That kind of phrasing creates movement without overcrowding the break. And if you're working around a vocal chop, leave some obvious space for the vocal to answer the bass. That call and response relationship is a huge part of the style. Now let's build the tone. On Waveatable, start with a saw-based Waveatable or something harmonically rich and classic. We want a strong mid-bass core, not the final polished sound yet. Set oscillator 1 to a saw or a rich Waveatable. Add oscillator 2 with a slight detune, maybe around 5 to 15 cents. If you want a thicker body, you can also transpose oscillator 2 down an octave. Otherwise, keep it in the same general range and use a small amount of unison, maybe 2 to 4 voices. The key here is not huge, smeared width. We want character, not a cloudy mess. Next, add a low-pass filter with a little resonance. Start with the cutoff somewhere in the 150 to 400 Hz zone and adjust by ear. If the bass feels too polite, add a touch of drive. Then use a subtle LFO on the filter cutoff or Waveatable position. Keep the movement controlled. You don't need wild wobble here. Even a small amount of modulation can make the loop feel like it's breathing. This is one of the big ideas in jungle and D&B bass design. Movement matters. A bass can be simple and still feel alive if it's evolving just a little. Now we split the bass into sub and mid layers. This is where a lot of people go wrong. They try to make one patch do everything, and then the low end gets fuzzy, the stereo image gets messy, and the drums lose impact. So instead, create a separate sub track. Use operator with a sine wave or a very clean simpler subsample. Keep it mono, keep it simple. The sub should just support the fundamental and stay locked to the MIDI notes exactly. On the sub track, use utility and set the width to 0. If you want, you can also keep the envelope tight with a quick attack and short release, especially if the bass line is rhythmic and punchy. On the mid-bass track, high pass the sound so it doesn't fight the sub. EQ 8 is perfect for this. Start around 90 to 140 Hz and move the cutoff based on how busy the arrangement is. If the kick is strong and the mix is dense, high pass a little higher. If the track is sparse, you can leave a bit more body. Now we start giving it soul. Vintage soul in a jungle bass usually comes from a combination of grit, movement, and restraint. It's not about making everything lo-fi. It's about making the sound feel sampled, imperfect, and alive. Add saturator to the mid-bass and drive it gently. A few decibels of drive is usually enough. Turn soft clip on if you want a smoother kind of aggression. Then bring the dry slash wet in by ear. We want harmonics and attitude, not total destruction. After that, you can use auto filter or EQ8 to shape motion. Try automating a low pass or band pass sweep on certain phrases. A little resonance can add that talking, vowel-like quality that works so well in jungle and dark DNB. If you want a dirtier edge, add redux very lightly. Just a little bit of downsampling or bit reduction can rough up the top end and make the bass feel more vintage. And that's really the vibe: harmonic dirt, tonal movement, and control. Next, we shape the punch. The bass has to hit hard without stepping on the snare or smearing the groove. If the mid bass is too spiky, use compressor or glue compressor carefully. Don't crush it. You want to preserve the front of the note. A slower attack helps the initial hit come through, and a moderate release helps it recover musically with the rhythm. If you use glue compressor, keep the drive subtle and make sure you're not flattening the transients. This is a really important point. In drum and bass, the first part of the note matters. That first 50 to 100 milliseconds is where the bass reads against the drums. If you overcompress or overwiden it, you lose impact. Punch is often about what you leave alone. Now let's make it wide the right way. This is the core technique in the lesson. Don't widen the whole bass. Widen only the upper harmonics and keep the low end centered. A good starting chain is a Q8, then a width effect, then utility for checking. You can also use chorus ensemble very subtly. Keep the dry slash wet low, maybe around 10 to 25%, and listen carefully. If it starts sounding seasick or blurry, back off. A really safe approach is to split the sound into bands with an audio effect rack. Keep one chain mono for the low mid body, one chain stereo for the high mid attitude, and maybe the third texture chain for extra grit or air. On the mono chain, use utility with width at zero. On the stereo chain, use chorus ensemble with low depth and moderate rate. On the texture chain, filter it so it only affects the upper mids and highs. That gives you width that feels like movement, not spread, and that distinction matters. In this style, the best stereo image usually comes from subtle harmonic offset, chorus, filtered side energy, and texture, not from making everything huge all the time. Since this lesson sits in the vocals area, let's use that to our advantage. One really cool move is to resample a few bars of the bass into audio, then treat it almost like a vocal phrase. Warp it if needed, slice the best bits, and re-trigger them. You can reverse a tail, pitch one hit up or down slightly, or automate a filter so it sounds like the bass is speaking. If you've got a chopped vocal in the track, even better. Let the vocal and the bass talk to each other. Maybe the vocal lands on beat 2, and the bass answers on the end of 2 or beat 3. That kind of phrasing feels very jungle. It gives the drop a conversation, and that always feels more human than just looping notes. Now let's bring the drums into the picture. The bass should be arranged around the drums, not fighting them. Build or load a break-driven drum section. Something like an amen, a think break, or a layered break with a strong kick and snare foundation. In Ableton, drum rack is great for layered drums and simpler works well for chopped breaks. Leave space for the snare. Let the bass breathe around the backbeat. Use ghost notes and drum fills in the gaps between bass hits. A really effective drop structure is to start sparse, then expand the bass over the first 8 bars. For example, bars 1 and 2 can be tight and focused. Bars 3 and 4 can add more harmonic movement or a wider layer. Bars 5 and 6 can introduce a fill or octave move, and bars 7 and 8 can strip back again to create impact. That's how you keep the bass line from feeling static. It becomes part of the drum conversation. Automation is your best friend here. Tiny changes over 4 or 8 bars can make the bass feel performed instead of looped. Try automating filter cutoff, saturator drive, chorus ensemble wetness, or the width of the stereo layer. You can even automate a little extra distortion in the fill bars, then pull it back for the main groove. If you're doing a darker arrangement, try making the bass narrower and rougher in the first half of the drop, then opening it up later. That contrast is huge. When you get to the mix stage, always check mono. Put utility on the master or on the bass bus, and collapse the mix to mono. Listen for anything disappearing, getting facey, or becoming too weak. If the bass vanishes or feels hollow, your stereo layer is probably too wide or too low. Keep the low end centered and clean. Use EQ8 to cut muddy zones around 180 to 350 Hz if needed, and tame harsh distortion around 2.5 to 5 kHz if it gets too sharp. The goal is simple, exciting in stereo, solid in mono. Let me give you a few teacher-style reminders while you work. Think in layers, but hear in relationships. Your bass doesn't need to be massive everywhere. It needs to leave space for the snare crack, the break transients, and any vocal fragments. Width should feel like movement, not just spread. The best stereo bass in this style usually sounds like it's shifting and breathing, not like it's been widened for the sake of it. And keep the front of the note tighter than the tail. A controlled attack with a looser sustain often feels much more club-ready than a constantly smeared sound. If you want to push this further, try a parallel grit lane. Send the mid-bass to a return track, distort it hard, high-pass it, and blend it in quietly. That can add attitude without destroying the main tone. Another great move is octave shadowing, where a very low-level octave up layer only appears on certain notes. It adds urgency and presence without turning the bass into a lead. Also, don't underestimate resampling. Sometimes the fastest way to get character is to print the bass, chop it, and reprocess the audio. That can give you more personality than endless knob tweaking. So to recap the workflow, build a short bass phrase, create a mono sub, design a mid bass with wave-eatable, add saturation and filtering for soul, Control the punch with careful compression, widen only the upper harmonics, resample for vocal-like movement, and arrange the bass so it interacts with the drums and any vocal chops. If you get that balance right, you'll end up with a jungle mid bass that feels wide, rude, musical, and properly DNB. Modern enough to hit hard, old school enough to have soul. Now your challenge is to turn this into a full drop sketch. Build a two-bar bass idea, split it into sub and mid. Add width above the low end, resample one phrase, and then arrange it into 8 bars with space, variation, and a vocal response. Check it in mono, fix anything that falls apart, and make sure the second half of the drop feels wider and more animated than the first.